so we pray. And Heavenly Father, we're very glad to be gathered together here in this building. Show us forth your grace, allowing us to come, Lord, which is grace in itself, because without that grace, Lord, how would we even know to come to a place like this and gather around the message which has been revealed to us by yourself, Lord, through a prophet. And how, Lord, would we even want it, my God, except by grace and through election, Lord. It's your divine plan that we were suited to this word, Lord, being a part of it, and now believing to grow up into it, to be the living word somehow. We don't know, Lord, how it's going to be done, but we know it is going to be done, Father, that you're going to have a bride that's the perfect word of Almighty God. So help us today to realize that and to worship you, Lord, according to that truth that has set us free. And that gives us a worship, Lord, we know that will be right before you and right with us and have a union and unity with you that has been missing through the ages, Lord. We're coming back, we know, to restoration, and we know the word here that's already predicated it. So we know, Lord, that word has got to be in a good ground. And we believe we're your husbandry, Lord. We believe that word in us is going to come forth as you've desired it, back to the original, even beyond the concepts of man. No matter what we desire, you've got something even greater. So we thank you for this help you give us this day. We just pray now you'll continue to bless us in all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Be seated. Now, we're on the message of token number 10, and I surely hope we can finish today, though I really don't know that I can promise you that, because I cannot even promise myself that. Now, in the last two messages, especially the last two, we have clearly seen that God, Elohim, the one who incarnated himself in the virgin-born body called Jesus, has appeared amongst us visibly to a prophet and to us by means of the camera, and he has vindicated that manifestation to be himself in the form of the Holy Spirit veiled in a pillar of fire, and has made known to us through a prophet that he is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is clearly that Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New, one God who never changes. He has not only vindicated that he himself is here by appearing in signs and wonders, but as already stated, he was often seen by the prophet and by us by allowing his picture to be taken. And once about 300 people saw that fire in the tabernacle, as well as did close to 3,000 see him reflected in a rainbow of light on June 11, 1933. And to receive this manifested word for this hour is to fully believe the word and receive the token, which is to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, which in turn is the rebirth. To reject this light is to fall away according to Hebrews 6. Let it therefore be understood that we do believe and teach that it is impossible for anyone to receive or to have received already a genuine rebirth and reject the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Spirit as he appears once more in the return of the days of the Son of Man in this hour and is declared and revealed, Son of Man revealed by a prophet. To reject this leads simply to anointings on the flesh at best, and these anointed ones will miss the rapture. Though they produce all manner of signs and fruit and virtues, it is in vain, for their testimony against the word has betrayed them. So keep this in mind, that everything that is said relative to anyone being spirit-filled or in Christ can only be said of those who have recognized this hour and its Christ and its word. Only to them can the blood be applied and the Spirit of God enter within them. Further, let me say that in this message there are times Brother Branham is referring only to himself, though he places the works of the Holy Spirit upon the bride as though it were a body ministry instead of the ministry of a prophet alone. He clarified that for us on various occasions by saying, if the hand does it, the body does it. And for a last comment before reading, be advised to be constantly aware that Brother Branham deals with the whole subject of the token as to what it is, what it does, how we can be a part of it by spiritual infilling, and how the Holy Spirit can live in and through us until we are controlled by Christ, as Paul said, it is God in you willing and doing of his own good service. So you keep those in mind now. I've written them down to be sure that you get it exactly as I want you to get it. Play the tape back if you need to. And those points we brought up are very vital as we begin reading, which is page 45 and paragraph 1. Remember the covenant blood The covenant blood is not recognized without the token. You cannot say, well, I've been sanctified from those things. In other words, he tells you again that the blood is not of any avail if you don't have the token. And he's talking particularly of this hour because, remember, the life goes out of the wheat into the chaff, and then the chaff is now designated not as chaff at the very end, but is designated as tares. So you've got two groups of people, one that are going to get out of here, one that's going to burn. And the one that's in the burning says, he leaves neither root nor branch, swinging back, swinging forward 2,000 years from this period, the same as Brother Branham did. Now, I hope you're catching what I'm saying. If you've got a background of this teaching, you can't help get what I'm saying. But one day we'll open. Just look, here's what you do. When I say these things and you don't get to understand the continuity of the thought, please make a note on paper and bring it back and we'll discuss it. Because you simply have to see what I'm saying in continuity, the same as you have to see what the prophet said, or it just becomes jerky, you know, like a film race back and forth. And that won't work. Now, Brother Bann said, that is not the token. The Spirit is the token. Now, the blood is not the token, and you have to have the token itself. In other words, what provided the token and made the room for it is wonderful, but that's from God's point and our point as the atonement for sin. You simply cannot take what made the way for it and bypass it. Now, I'm using it in the sense of the capital I, capital T, being the Holy Spirit, a token. So you understand what he's saying here. So many people, now, that Brother Brand said that was fine in the days of Luther. That was fine in the days of Wesley. Even fine in the days of Pentecost. That was fine. In other words, the blood, and it's fine today, the blood's applied. But there was a leeway there where God didn't necessarily wink at ignorance, but there is a sacrifice for ignorance. Now, not saying that these people, Wesley and the Pentecost, and those didn't have the baptism with the Holy Ghost, but you understand it's moved on now. And there's no baptism back there. So these people say, well, we got the blood, and still be Lutheran? We got the blood, and still be Methodist, Presbyterian, Baptist? No. No, there's just no way. Because your evidence, whether you want to believe it or not, is believing this message. Him, He, the Christ, the Logos, the Word, Elohim, and a pillar of fire, manifesting, and the declaration coming through a prophet. You don't have that, you haven't got it. Now people say, well, you're iconoclastic, you're building your fences. Well, who cares? I want a fence, and a good one. I want to get inside of God's fence. If you want a lot of open doors, have your open doors. Be my guest. Just don't come and tell me what to preach, which you wouldn't dare anyway. No man would dare tell me then, because it's just no good. It won't work. This is what the prophet said. Now he said, that blood is not the token. Now we revere the blood. We don't call it an unclean thing. We don't cast it underfoot. We don't denigrate it. We don't deny it. We don't belittle it. We don't minimize. We don't take from it. But if you don't receive the token, then you have done all those things in the degree. Amen. Now where are you at? Now see, I just turned it right around. Now where are we going? So this is a very serious subject. The blood is not the token. The Spirit is the token. The Spirit of Christ upon you, believe it. We were just singing Only Believe a while ago. I love that last verse. All doors being shut. But I tell you what, every door was shut, even the elect shut him out. But he got inside. He knew how to do it. And just thinking how, brother, how the Raiders, was it Luke or Paul? Perhaps Paul was the one that wrote that song, especially for Brother Branham. I would never allow that to be sung until I began preaching, as I see the token now in the presence, the appearing of God. Now I believe what Brother Branham wanted me to believe and wants you to believe. My ministry declared that he is here. We read more of that right through here all the time. That great presence that is here. You say, well, he always was here. That's fine by me. But what about this dimension? What about this hour? Appearing back under Luther will not satisfy now. If he did appear, what was his appearing then? Well, he couldn't appear the way he appeared now because Brother Branham said, they're looking for the pillar of fire. How could he appear at that time when the resurrection only take place at this time. We'll hit this a little later on. See? So the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is you believe what you saw, what was testified, what was declared. Are you a part of that? Now, if you say, well, I couldn't have that because that's building a fence, I got news for you. God's the one that builds the fences. And the prophet didn't tell any one of us to turn a corner. He said it takes a special man to turn a corner. What are you building? What are you turning a corner for? To build something to hedge you in. Bring us. We'll talk about the lintels and the doorpost after a bit, too. God will help us. Four more messages coming up. I hate myself for this, but I can't help it. Now look, the word assures us of a promise. Well, that's right, the word assures the promise. And this book is full of promises. And if they're not made head on by God, through God's own revelation, but through our interpretation, those promises are void. Now that's, you got to understand that. The Bible even says that heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word shall all be fulfilled. So when the thing is fulfilled, then it's wiggle-tailed. It becomes corrupted. Why? Because it's food in due season, and food eaten is corrupted. The good has gone out of it because the life of that hour is passed away, is passing on. Now, what about that food? Well, it's all living food. It comes from seed, some sort of seed. So the life goes into a seed and goes on, and that life keeps coming up. And the life is here in the form of the fullness. It wasn't full before. So how much presence did they have? See? Worst thing in the world is a poor mother to bear a child that's crippled. Look what thalidomide did. That's what your creeds and dogmas did. Brought and aborted Christ. Oh, he's no Christ. This is the real Christ. Even the priest had to be perfect. If he wore a beard, he had to have it shaved a certain way. People are growing like fuzzy bears these days and think they maybe look like God or something. Who knows? I don't know what they think they look like or care if. So I'm going to try to get a point across to you. Everything, every jot and tittle gets fulfilled with God. See, nothing is out of cater. Not one cell. Billions of cells in our body. Trillions. Even the blood is made out of cells. How many trillion in the blood? When those cells die, they're replaced by new ones. But it's the same life. So can't you see the life coming on and coming up till now the life itself is manifested? Proven by doing the same things he did when he was here in the flesh. Oh, that does it. Listen, this is not seared in, brother. I'm going to tell you something. I backed away from this when I was in Tucson sick for one reason, to see if I could placate men that became our enemies because we preach Christ the way we preach him. I've lost 8 months of my life. For the last month, I've come back stronger than ever. No man will take this from me. I won't placate anybody. I'm back away from nobody. And I'm not mad. I'm just saying the truth. You do what you want. Praise God. Yeah. In fact, I think I'll buy a nice car with a softer ride. You can just be nice and sweet. No lumber wag coaches for me. But for this, that's a different story. If I get thrown at the pulpit as an immoral jerk, I can tell you one thing. I told you the truth. You bet I know it's the truth. Now look, the word assures of a promise. The word assures, that's right. The word assures, logos, brings it all to pass. But that doesn't mean you and I got it. These are all texts I've set down. Just keep on preaching all day, it looks like, on this seat. The word assures us of a promise because it is the promise. What kind of a promise is this word outside of a deliberate revelation by God himself to us? It is nothing but cookie crumbs. God knows what the cookies are made of when man gets through with it. Not real at all. No. This word is merely a revealed God in print. But unless he himself tells us what it means, it isn't going to cut. The word is the promise. Now watch. And the word is God, and the word is ours. Now, so he takes it from printed page. We're in there stated a promise to the great promiser who is God, and he said, he is ours. Do you realize the Psalms of Israel are full of that? Do you realize the relationship and the understanding by the blood of a lamb and a bull and a goat? Through prophetic utterance,
what these men had then, what do we have? Brother Branham said the prophets of the old time came, they epitomize or show or come close to what we've got today in the baptism. And of course, he's speaking today in the baptism, the great baptizer here, the great token himself. You see? In complete charge. And he said, the word is ours. So therefore, this is ours and that is ours. It's all ours. See? You mean, what do you mean by that? Our personal possession. In other words, Brother Brown is saying here, the word is the promise, the word is God, the word is ours, which is word fulfilled is simply word manifested, which is simply God manifested, and it's ours. For us, in us, to us, but by him. We become the word, and the word becomes us. Now he said that. Anybody receiving this living word becomes a living word of God in their flesh. Because you're dealing with flesh. Man's tripartite being. You can't separate him. You separate one of those, the body, the soul, the spirit, it's all gone. Until it comes back in the resurrection. Now, and if you abide in me and my word in you, then it just becomes one great big family. Now, that's our goal here. We started out here, 3 years ago? I don't even know time anymore. We started out with that premise, and that premise remains. You do what you want, but there's going to be a core of people here that believe this and do it and follow it. And it's going to be done in them and to them and by them and for them. We're going to have it. How do you speak with assurity? Because God said so. Did he say it to me? No, he said it here. And I believe I'm a part of it. I believe you're a part of it. And I believe our goals are right. And there are those who can trifle and do what they want with it. But there's going to be somebody. Yes, sir, we're not spending our time in vain here, none of us. Just one great big family, the family of God. You see, a great big family in love, it assures us. Because why? Why? It is a part of us. It becomes a part of us. What a text. All right, assures us a promise. And that promise, the word for the hour, becomes a part of us, and we're a part of it, which is not a hybridization, but it's a restoration, because that's what we were. It's in the body of the flesh that the sons of God went astray. That's why the Bible, Brother Branham, comes back with the authority of God and said, little bride, you didn't do it at all. All falls back on the devil. You see? Now, the token is a sign that the purchase has been made, has been accepted. That's exactly right. In other words, the blood, the token coming back upon us, manifested at Pentecost, manifested now, is a sign. In other words, the token is a token. It's a sign itself. Not something sent now. The token is the real thing. The purchase has been made. In other words, a price has been paid. And that price has been accepted. So therefore, anybody who is full of the Holy Ghost is under the blood. And you're not legally under the blood until you're full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the blood is not the token. The token is the token which is the Holy Spirit. Now let's take a look at that. Over here in Romans. Now, I don't know if I can even find it. My mind's not too clear today. But it might be in the 14th chapter. Yes, it is. Now it says in the 14th chapter, verse 7, starting, for none liveth to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of dead and living. Why dost thou then judge thy brother? Said it not thy brother, and so on. Now it tells you right here that Christ paid a price and bought every single one of us, and can do whatever he wants with it. And that's over in 2 Corinthians, what chapter is that in 2 Corinthians? I can't tell you where it is anyway, but I've even preached on and told you about it many times here, how it is that, it's further on here. Anyway, it doesn't matter. My mind's a blank on it, but the idea is that here is where the Roman general comes back, and the ones robed in white go ahead of the general on the white horse, and the one behind, they're captives, they're slaves. And the ones in front are going to be given citizenship and liberated, and the ones behind thrown to the lions. Now that's at the sole disposition of the general. So, here we see here what he's done. He has paid the purchase price, and he can do what he wants with anybody because the price is paid. Now then, when you receive the Holy Ghost, shows that you're liberated, you're now back in Christ restored, and so therefore you are not a slave anymore, except as a bond slave in love unto Christ, not one thrown to the lions, or to the lake of fire, showing then that he's accepted the blood for you. See? The price was sufficient and accepted. You go to a store right today and the sign says, all right, the merchandise is restricted. You go to a restaurant and say, we'll only serve those you want to serve. Well, God's the same business. He can do what he wants and does it. Now you can't get the token from the railway company until you pay the price. And you know the way you're going to pay the price? Just pay it. I said, that is right. What? Which word what means? How do you pay the price? Believe it and accept it. And I say, well, how do I know that price was for me? Just believe it and accept it. Walk right on. See what happens to you. See where you go. See? Full obedience to the whole Word of God will entitle you to the token. Full obedience. Not part of it. As far as your denomination goes, but all of it. Now, what you talking about? What they had back in Luther's day, what they had in Wesley's day, what they had in Pentecost, is in the fullness now. So you're full obedience. And what is the obedience? He says, believe it and accept it. So your obedience of faith is, do you believe everything that came from that source and that source? Now, if you don't believe everything from those two sources, I'm sorry for you. And whatever Holy Spirit you got, that's fine. Whatever I got's fine, but it's not going to be it. The full obedience, see, of the full word, because that is Logos. Now, full obedience, the word which is Christ, brings you into Christ. Not like your denomination now. You're just back there claiming the blood. And remember, when the denomination came for the oil, it was too late. Why? Because they've taken the creed instead of the word. So what do they got? Anointing. That's why the Pope can talk in tongues. Roman Catholics talk in tongues. Cardinals, archbishops. A lot of good neo-Pentecostals, the charismatics, right there. Not panning them, just telling the truth. All can talk in tongues, have great love, have this great thing, have that great thing. Why, man alive, they'll snow you under the table. Just plow you right down with what they got. Make your prayers look sick, your love look sick, everything looks sick. Haven't got a thing. I know, not because I say so, this word says so. Let me tell you, brother, we got vindication. And that vindication doesn't need to be yours personally. That you supply it. Or God to you. You just got to believe what God did. Like Brother Brand said, there's an election going on. And that election right now is whether you vote for Christ or the devil. And they've already voted for the devil. Oh, they'll get that great Prince of Peace, don't worry. The lawless one. Their Prince of Peace, they'll get him, see? All right, now. Just exactly what scripture do you have to believe to be fully obedient to it? Acts 2, 37, 39. Just what they saw at Pentecost, we've had reproduced much greater in this area, this hour right now. And that's all Peter said. This is what we're going to do. He's ready to be baptized, everyone, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he gave him a preachment. And every time they come up, he gave him a preachment. In other words, he explained every single time what was going on. Same thing right today, only greater. Now, what if you were all in but your feet hanging out? What if you were all in but hands hanging out? Now, what's he talking about hands, feet? The ages. Lightning to you and me. Luther starts his feet. Wesley. Pentecost. And you got your three divisions. Head, trunk, limbs. Well, you got your trunk and your... Yeah, you got three main divisions. And the third one, representing now him coming back, Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, to bring him back entirely, because you had all three. And so you didn't have the true head. The true head is coming now at this end time. But a body is in that form. So down below here, you've got the trunk and the arms and all just waiting for the head to come. So that's been fulfilled. Okay, that's what he's saying here. Feet hanging out, hands hanging out, most of us all in, but heart hanging out, the hearts of the world see, yet they don't do that. Now, full complete obedience puts you and the Word one. Now, what's he talking about? This whole book, you don't even know that book. You don't even know. But the obedience he's talking about is to believe what went on and receive it as yours. That makes you one. Because the farthest you can go is no farther than Pentecost when Peter preached his message and said, repent, be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift for the promise unto you and your children, all that are far off. On what condition? Repenting and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. See? Now you got to the end time. Now, it puts you in the word is one. You believe it every bit, all that's in you, and you watch it working through. Now let me give you another slant on that. When you see this or didn't even see it, let's go back to when you were saved and I was saved. We never saw this. Let me tell you something happened. You just believed this, period. You couldn't understand it, but you read it voraciously and you believed it. And you believed it all. And then the creeds and dogmas came along as you tried to understand, and they messed you up good. Now you're getting unmessed. And that's the hardest part of the whole battle. The battle of Armageddon is to get with the prophet's understanding and not your own. And to know just what he's saying when he says it. Whether word is printed, page, or logos. See? All right. You believe every bit. And all of it is in you. And you watch it working through you. Now there's a promise given here. Not only is there escape, there's a light. Now Brother Branham categorically mentions at the end time, there'd be the super, 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 super race. You see, I believe that's all coming out of the ground. That could well be. I won't argue the point. But I'm going to tell you, this group here, somehow, some way, and I cannot describe it, it's not my job, I don't have revelation on it. If this group here does not have something the others didn't have, and we can't go by their marks, characteristic marks, we'd have to go by this. And Brother Branham said that if they, when they have the word, they don't speak it unless they have thus saith the Lord. They have the obedience, the understanding obedience. In other words, the word within the framework of the word and all that goes with it when it comes to motivation and objectivity, all of those things. Christ himself living his life out. That brings this group, the people, to a super race in my understanding. Now, you don't go about with a bunch of carrying on. You're a Christian. No matter anybody says, they'll never touch you. You're in Christ. You're safe as you can be. When death knocks at the door, it has no hold on you. Not at all. Why? It's just stepping out of here into there. In other words, the dimension. Age doesn't mean a thing. You pass from age. You're in eternity because you're in him. Now, that's true of all ages, but especially true now when time and eternity have blended and we have reached the stage of incorruptibility, and there'll be people demonstrating that to be true. Now, you can be sitting here this morning and feel pretty rotten. See? We might sing happy birthday to Ruth, and she doesn't feel too good. But she's been through some real trying times, but I believe the Lord's touching her and helping her out. Well, you could say right there, well, my goodness me. I sure don't feel like I passed into eternity, and sometimes I don't feel like for 1 minute that I'm putting on the incorruptibility. Sure are. Doesn't have anything to do with feelings. Has to do with God. The seed for the end time in this hour produces an incorrupted body. Why? Because there's a change going on. And the change is through the Holy Spirit. And he's bringing forth exactly what's going to be brought forth from dust and ashes. Doesn't have a thing to do with how you feel. And doesn't have a thing to do with how you feel like to get out of here. That's my problem. I'm lazy. I hate confrontation. Tired of the whole mess. He is eternal. That's the one you're in. Doesn't mean a thing whether you're young, old, middle aged, or whatever you are, pretty, ugly, short, fat, what? Doesn't matter a thing. It doesn't either, you see. What one must do is just believe in the word and eternal life. You don't go around on all those other things, you pass from that. In other words, you're not in the world doing what the world does, and denominations do. You're dead. Your life is hid in God through Christ. You're sealed in there by the Holy Ghost, walking in Christ. The only object you see is Christ. That is right. That is all you want. Oh, my. Well, how could you have all that if you were dead? Well, you're dead to it. You're anesthetized to it. You're not even aware of a lot of things. No wonder you sing, fill my way every day with love as I walk with the heavenly dove. Let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Now, watch Brother Branham, what he's saying here. It's beautiful. Let me be your brother. Let me live the example, what Christ said a man should be. Let me be a brother to a brother to a sister. Let me be a minister to the minister. Let me be an example of examples. Let me show to the world that this word is Christ. And the only way I can do it is come into Him, because I can't do it myself. You can't do it, but let the Word in you become one, and then it lives itself out. Now you see how you're going to do that. See, it tells you by the token. It's only being fortified by the Holy Spirit that can actually take place. You see, then obedience is full belief that starts it all. It starts and it begins moving upward. Like he said, the stature of a perfect man. You start with faith, you go on to virtue, and to knowledge, and to temperance, and godliness. Right on, right up to the very peak that man could get, and where his brotherly kindness, and see what Brother Branham is saying here, brotherly kindness. Let me be your brother. To live your life as an example. Be a brother to your brother. Brother to a sister. Minister to the minister. Example of examples. To show what Christ can do in a man. See? Now that's the proper motivation. When he comes to prayer in the Holy Spirit, you've got to remember that. Remember this, what he's saying is like a prayer. You are a walking epistle of Jesus Christ. When he has got complete control. Control of you to make every word. Now he stops off there. He said, if he comes this way, I want to do this. And you say, no, I don't believe that. So you're not in the world. In other words, he's saying here, every word controls you, that you're using that as your filter. Using that as your gauge. Using that as your sign. What does the word say? There's a progression here in the stature that he's bringing out. Now watch. Fully now. Full obedience to the whole word of God entitles us to the token. In other words, you believe this, you won't add a word, you won't take a word, you're absolutely solid, and you wonder this morning if I've received the Holy Ghost or not and don't know, and you come to the conclusion you haven't done it, but you believe 100%, you're the candidate. You say, well, I've been baptized in water, but well, have you been going on to sanctification? Well, sure, I've been doing that. All right, reach out this morning. What's Brother Branham said? And you grow up into it because it starts in the seed form. It always has. Pentecost and everybody taught it back in a non-seed form. Said you got it all, which is true. You do have it all, but you don't manifest it all. And you didn't have it all because you didn't have all the words. You've got something in here they didn't have, which I keep telling you is that incorruptible part. The part of the word allowed you to corrupt, but not anymore. See, there's a group, there's a people going to be standing here, no matter what anybody says. Don't let them fool you. See? Now watch fully. In full obedience to the word, the whole word of God entitles us to the token. Now watch. Right away. Then when he says entitles us, then when we pray, we must have the token to present with our prayer. If you say, I pray, Lord, but I really haven't, well, there you go. You just might as well stop. Go in first and get the token, see, because that token is what he will recognize. When we pray, then we must present the token. Lord, I've obeyed you fully. I repented of my sins. Now you see what full obedience is right there? Not day by day down the road 20 years from now. Full obedience is step by step. How can you obey what you're not confronted with? Or what you don't know? It's a full obedience to what you know. Now you can see this and say, I believe that, I got it, I'm going 100% for it. That's great. You're right on the right track. Might not know one thing other than that. You don't have to. See? But something struck you. You say, whatever goes with that, that's what I want. That's mine. That's where it lies. Then from that time on, the growth must increase. See, you've got to be growing up into it. Where the Holy Spirit's in full control. Now, I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's upon me. See, I've obeyed you fully, Lord. Repented of my sins. Feel you forgiven me, been baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost upon me. Now I have a need of a certain thing for your glory, Lord. I ask for it, and it is mine. Now, okay, now he's telling you here, the Holy Spirit is needed. Like you said in a sermon, you should be full of the Holy Ghost to take communion. You should be full of the Holy Ghost in order to pray. So let's go back to Romans 8 and 26 for just a second here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, it tells you right here that the Holy Spirit is available to us, and absolutely every time we pray, we should recognize that. Brother Branham said the truth. There is something anchors back there. Now, he tells you how the life of the Holy Spirit coming in to you based upon this word here where the promise lies, anchors that thing in there, and you know that that's yours. It's yours. Then it's all over. It's all over. It is settled. I ask for this. I ask for it. I must have it. I want it for your glory. Then he just gives it to you. Now watch. I want it for your glory. He gives it to you. Then you know it is yours. That is the way it is with our children and so forth. We apply the blood. Believe it. That is all. Now you notice in here where he says, I want it for your glory. Brother Branham, some time ago we went through a prayer line with him. And in there he mentioned concerning the fact that not only does a person need to be anointed with that faith for healing or they won't get it, but he also brings up the fact, what do you want it for? I remember years and years ago when Dr. Price went through Canada, there was a girl named Wiltshire. Imagine she'd be dead by now. She was a baker's daughter and crippled with polio. And she went to Dr. Price's meeting, and her legs just unscrewed right down. She became normal, and she could walk and, you know, jump up and down and hop up and down. It was very fine. And then, of course, she came back from the healing meeting, and she said she told the people she was very happy because now she'd go and dance with the rest of them. And that night, the legs just went up again. And she became very bitter. Well, I see no reason why God should do something with his great gift that the devil may utilize it. The devil's been doing that for all these centuries, and I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sorry for the girl that she didn't have insight, but I cannot pan or fault what was done by God because it's just God. You know, you just don't have a light from God. Blow the smoke, empty smoke back into his face. No way. All right. He said, what does he do then? When you can present the token with your prayer, it shows you have fully come to obedience to the whole word of God. How could that be? Because he'll reveal the whole word to you if it's for that hour. You had the whole word for the hour back in Pentecost. You had the whole word back in Luther and Wesley. But now you got the whole word. And this is all of it because nothing more is going to come on down. He showed you that by the capstone on the pyramid. No more little lines are going to come down. It's all over. See, what do people think? See, if headship's here, that's finished. See, I know people say, well, we need something else. Well, whatever you need, that's fine. Personally, I don't see where Brother Branham taught that. He said he had to decrease that he might increase. Whatever Brother Branham does when he comes back, that's God's business. And to be under God perfectly, and with God being in perfect control and headship, it won't be William Branham, it'll be God. See, it always was God. I don't understand people. Probably we're not supposed to. Let's understand the word. When you've got the token that shows you obeyed every word, then you and the word are one. You're only asking for the thing that you are. What is it? Why? How can he say the thing that you are? Because if you were back there in the beginning, then you were responsible in that little modicum of measure of it, for every single thing. So whether you had a hand in creation, whether you knew it or not. Just a tiny part. That's just like buying 1 cent... putting in 1 cent for a $1 billion share. But it's 1 cent, $1 billion, it's part of $1 billion share. You say, well, that'd take a big computer. Well, God's bigger than computers. Your brother Ben said, I was there when he died. I was there when he rose. That's scripture. You can't get away from that. So there you are, see? Then why? You know, if I say to this, hand, you obey me. Reach out for the handkerchief. It does. Hand obeyed me. Why? It's part of me. Then when you and the word become one, every promise, glory to God, every promise is yours, it obeys you. Well, sure. In other words, you're entitled to it. Now, let's keep watching now. Then you want to watch what you want to do or you want to have. In other words, watch your motive. Question your reason. Now, listen, you wouldn't put your hand in a fire to see if you can do it. We've done that as kids. Pretty stupid and get burned, learn better. Oh, no. But if there is something in that fire I've got to reach for, it will obey me. How many times have we tried and have grabbed things out of the fire? And we got burned doing it, but we had to do it. How many people have died giving their lives in fires? But they had to. Something was greater than your own preservation. See, so he said, he's telling you, watch this. That is right. You want to watch what you're doing. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is sparingly given out in things. In other words, why there is little manifestation, although the manifester is there for all of it. See? You can't trust. What was one of the things the angel of the Lord appeared and told Brother Branham? You made a sideshow of the ministry. And I could never see any sideshow in his ministry. That leaves me just gasping like a fish out of water. I look back in my thinking with him so many times, and I say, well, where did he make a sideshow? I don't know. He admitted he exaggerated a bit, but there was no sideshow of the Holy Spirit on that. He's talking about discerning and praying for sick and all. So, but God knows best. If God said that was a sideshow, that's a sideshow. Amen. We just take it and say, amen, Lord. Help us to be right. And you notice how the prophet just geared himself down, 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 down. See, that's the reason the Holy Spirit is sparingly giving out for things. You know what I mean. Because a real servant of God doesn't show off with it, you see. That's it. That is making a show. In other words, in the gift ministry, something must have been a little bit touchy with God. Then think of what goes on today when these people use the gift to bring in money, everything else. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. They don't stop at money. They won't stop at adultery. It's just heyday, hey time, you know. What is that but anointing? You couldn't pin that down to the Word of God, brother. I don't care anybody says. No, sir. That's why we stay home more and more and more and just stay here. If people want tapes, you get them at their own risk. That's the truth. Get a video clip, you get it more of your own risk. Not just might vomit, you might get blinded. It's your tough luck. I mean it, too. No, sir. It's getting narrowing down, brother, sister, narrowing down. When we pray, we present the token. There again, it's not trying to fluff off before God. Knowing that your words, like you said, you're on earth and God's in heaven, let your words be few. And give not the sacrifice of fools. When we pray, we present the token. It shows we have fully obeyed. All right? Now, this is all part of the stature of perfect man arriving at that stature. Now, Paul tells us that the blood speaks. Anyone knows that the blood is acting itself, cannot speak. It's a chemistry. It's chemical. Is that right? How many know that? How many know that the blood speaks? If you want to put that down, Genesis 4:10, God said, what about your brother? He said, his blood speaks to the earth against you. Amen. Is that right? His blood is speaking. Hallelujah. God said, what about him? Cain said, I'm not my brother's keeper. God said his blood is crying out. His blood is crying out. It is a token. It's a token that he had been killed. His blood was crying out against Cain. Now, if you get that in Genesis 4:10, Hebrews 12:24, you read the blood of Jesus Christ speaking better things than that. See, Abel, he was a righteous man. He died. He died innocent because he was in the way. He was in the way standing for the real revelation he had. He spoke it, cried out. The just blood of Abel cried out against Cain. But the blood of Jesus not only cried out, it redeemed us. Amen. It speaks better things. It makes you sons and daughters. It hides you from the wrath of God. See, the blood of Abel could not hide Cain, but the blood of Jesus can. So Cain came out. So Cain, speaking now to people, come out today. If you've been a persecutor against the word, like Paul, days of miracles are past. This thing is all nonsense, things like that. It is crying out. The blood of Jesus Christ cries out that he has forgiven us in it, if you'll just accept it. Now you see, therefore, to disbelieve the vindicated message, which is the voice of God now, in two forms, by the eye and by the ear. The eye is what you see, the ear is what you hear from the prophet. So to disbelieve the message, the vindicated message, proves one has trampled the blood underfoot. That Hebrews, I think it's in Hebrews 10. We want to read that one. Well, Hebrews 10 speaks of Hebrews 9 there. Let's see, we get into 10. Yeah, Hebrews 10, verse 26. If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remain of no more sacrifices in. Now watch, brother, sister. Sacrifice for sin precedes the knowledge of the truth. See? If we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice. Neither can you get a sacrifice in the future. See? The sacrifice precedes it. That's what it's done right now. Now, if there's truth and illumination concerning it, there's no sacrifice if you turn it down. But watch. A certain, fearful, looking for of judgment and fiery indignation that shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. The blood didn't avail. Couldn't do it. Of how much sore punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God? How do you do it? By turning down the word. And if he's here especially, you do tread him underfoot. See, because look, you're working in a social caste, is what you're really looking at. Start way back in heaven, when the devil defied Almighty God and the premise of the word and was going to take over. Now you got the same thing here. I want to ask you a question. Who's going to get booed out of heaven? Well, we're not going to boot God out. You better believe that. He said, though you exalt yourself to the skies, he said, in heaven, you watch as you come tumbling down. Now you see the understanding here. They have trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and does desperate to the Spirit of grace. Now, that scripture is identical to this one. If I had not done the things that no man had done, they had not sinned, but now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. You go to the Church of Christ and you say, do you love God? Oh, I love him, I love him, I love him. Well, would you die for Jesus? Oh, I would, I would, I would. Do you believe you're really a child? Oh, I am, I am, I am. Hey, then you'll believe in divine healing. What? That's of the devil. Now, where's your blood? Where's your spirit? Where's anything? Now, you see what I'm talking about? So, brother, sister, listen. We are on target, or this message is not the great message I thought it was. This message is not that cutting of God by his sword that separates the soul, the spirit, the joint, and the marrow, Brother Brown said. This is not the great discerner. Because if, in other words, then the fan is not in his hand separating, he's still allowing the chaff to pile up, and he'll do something about it nicely later on. The tares will, tares can't help themselves. We'll be good to them. Now, look, this is where we're going to full obedience and full faith and full belief. You either got to come to the place where you believe you are it, and if that builds a fence, and that excludes people, that is not our fault, because they are doing the same thing. You show me one person not. The very fact that anybody can raise his voice about anything at all shows he has built a fence, or somebody built a fence for him. Well, I stand guilty. I want my fences, and I'm not going to give them up to anybody. I think the most dangerous position in all the world is to sit on a fence and you straddling it, because the bulldog can jump up and grab either leg or a hand on either side. But if you can get on one side and keep that skunk out, you're in good shape. Knowing you can't jump the fence. Remember, the wisdom of God cometh from above and not from below. So if you've got a complete fence around you, that leaves room for the wisdom of God to come down and get you, and you're trampled underfoot the wisdom of the enemy, so that puts you in pretty good shape. All right. See, the blood of Abel could not hide Cain, but the blood of Jesus can. That's true. So Cain, come out today. If you've been a persecutor, days of miracles are past, so nonsense. The blood of Jesus Christ cries out against you. Wish we could stay a while on that, speak of better things. Flee for safety, then apply. Believe. Here is what you want to believe for. You want your own safety. You believe for safety, then apply the token for the whole family. What for their safety? You've made it, you want them to make it. Now watch how he brings the family in. Now he said, I want to be this, you want to be this kind of a person growing up in the stature. Now full of the Holy Ghost, living a Christian life, knowing the value, knowing the truth, knowing reality, what do you want? I want my family to have this. Okay, how can I do it? Claim it. Now listen, watch the simplicity. If it works for you, then you and the Word becomes one. Amen, amen. See, it works for both of you. You and the Word are one. Then apply it to your children. What does it mean to apply? Believe and testify. You can't apply the Holy Ghost to anybody. Only God can do that. If you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, that's the best statement you can make about it. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him? So, all right, what are you doing? You're trying to get the children into a position by works and testimony, so that they will believe as you believe, to come to the point of acquiescence, repentance, and reception of the Holy Spirit. Apply it to your loved ones like Rahab did. What did she do? She applied the token to her father. to her mother, her brothers and sisters. How? Got them all in. You apply it. What do? You testify and acquaint them with it, the same as Rahab did. She testified and she acquainted them with it. She said, look, those men came in. You know the history of how they came out of Egypt. You know what's going on in the lands out there. You know positively the proof. These guys got something we don't have. Now they came in and talked to me and they said, you, Rahab, and your loved ones are okay. And see that scarlet thread out there? That shows it. Now, you know I wouldn't put that out there without that. Well, you know I'm too astute a businesswoman. She was. She hustled the streets. The oldest profession. She knew what she was doing. I don't care what she did. Doesn't matter. Just like a man could have 100 wives. Who would have 150 men or 1,000 of them. Brother Jesus Christ cleanses. Don't ever think a lost sheep can't go down as much as a lost hog. Amen. But they have three different destinations. Sure. Don't sell it short. The Apostle Paul was against his con in his own way. When you talk about the Turks and the rest, you better think of the Apostle Paul. Better think of ourselves. So she acquainted them with the fact of what took place. And you know what? They believed her. Now she got them all in. You apply it. Acquaint them with the facts. Give them the truth. Testify. Tell them what you know. Now you apply and say, Lord, I'm going after my son. I'm going after my daughter. I claim her, Satan. You turn her loose. I'm coming after her. I apply the token. Oh, Holy Spirit that lives in me, catch my daughter there. I'm going to her now. Now with your anointing upon me, he will do it. Amen. Now what if he went and said, now listen, daughter dear. You know that us Lutherans are very nice people. Us Pentecostals. And you know, we live good lives. I brought you up right, you know. You believe in Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and there's three of them watching up for you. One won't get you, the other will. You going to win anybody to Jesus Christ with that stuff? He didn't say go with any message. This is not any message. This is vindicated word. Say, daughter, listen, you know, I brought you up Trinitarian. I was wrong. Look, my son, I preached 40 years. I preached wrong. You heard from the son say, Dad, I've heard you preach all these years. I got news for you. You know, always in your heart you've known something was out of cater. I've got the information that puts it in order. There was a prophet in this land. That happened. It's happening all the time. These things are going on. This is end time evangelism. I'll prove it to you that I'm telling you the truth of what this paragraph says. Let me read on. That is what they did in Egypt. That is what they did in Jericho. If you want to read it, Acts 16:31, Paul the centurion. Now listen to what he says here. You won't find this in Acts 16, but it's there, because the prophet said it is. Believe I am the messenger of the hour. That's what he told the man, the Philippian jailer. He said, you got stirred up by what happened. I'm the messenger of this hour. Do you believe that? Well, he said, well, you're the messenger or something. He said, this hour or that hour. I said, I'll take that, sure. He said, this is the hour I see. I never saw it before. No, maybe not see it ever. I'll take that. Good message, this hour. But you hold that news for you. I'm just a messenger. The God of this hour is the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the pillars and pokies over there. Those dumb things there. Lord Jesus Christ had died on Calvary. Let me tell you that. Well, how in the world are you going to adapt to anything but the word of the hour? How are you going to tell anybody anything but the word of the hour? When Brother Branham preached the shame to him, it was the shame of this message. This is the most glorious message in all the world, because at least we got vindication. And if we are wrong concerning, what do you say if we boo-boo? We came the closest. But at least we saw something. It'd be easier on us at Judgment Day. On the other hand, who knows? We may be allowed to go in. Because, you know, the foolish virgin, the same cloth the wise virgins are, just different cut. They just weren't included in that pattern. Not saying we're going to be that, but we got to have our testimony. Why, said Paul, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou and thy house will be saved. Sure, that's right. They believe too. Is that right? Believe for your house. Bring them all under it. How do you do it? By the life and by the word. See, now you've seen the God of heaven perform a miracle just before judgment. You believed it. Yes, what can I do? Talking about now. Talking about then. Talking about Egypt. Talking about Rahab. Talking about the pattern God lays out. Now, Rahab didn't say, I'm going to tell you something. parents of mine and my family, you know, way back in the days of Abraham, so-and-so happened. The fire fell way back there, and Sodom and Gomorrah got all licked up. Why, she might not know one word of it. Let me tell you something. These are the bunch that came through the Red Sea.
Amen.
And we know they came through because they're the ones that came through the river when it backed up on both sides. See? So she tells them after the slaves departed and the men departed, they saw them going around the house. That's the time that her brothers and sisters and father really were believers, when she can tell them that. Say, didn't I tell you they were the ones? Look at the water roll back. See? So there's a living testimony. He said, rise and be baptized. And Paul took him out and baptized him. And said, now believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, thou and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? Believe the Lord Jesus Christ for your house. Apply the token to your house. Then what do you do when you apply it to your house? Move all the trash out. Now that's a little thing right there, Brother Branham says. He gives warning now. What you do? So how are you going to win them? Move all the trash out, get all the short skirts, the shorts, the cards, the cigarettes, television, whatever more, kick them out of the door. You're going to apply the token, won't stand still for it. Yes, sir. Take it all out. All the dance, all the parties, all the rock and roll, all the new theaters, and stuff like that, and the world, kick it out the door. Say, we're cleaning up the place around here. Now there's three steps he brings out. So watch for them. Number one, like Jacob did, he said, told his wife and all those, wash your clothes, everything, and put away those gods. Amen. And then down a little further, get ready, apply it, believe it, clean up. Let your children, let your family, let your loved ones in you see it. Now, first of all, he said, clean up the house. And then you, cleaning up the house and putting away these things, you lay down the rules of the Word of God in the house and then live it before your family. Now, it said, the next thing, apply the token in prayer. That's not three yet, though. With consideration, with that still, you know, applying. Apply it with love and so forth. You know it's going to take place. That is all. Apply it with confidence. Believe it's going to help. When you talk to that child, you talk to your husband, talk to your wife, talk to your loved one, believe it's going to help, and stand there and say, Lord, I've cleaned them. They're mine. I'm getting them ready. I'm getting them for you, Lord. And then number three, create the atmosphere around you that they will drop just right into it. So there, what he tells you there, you put away all those things. You get everything cleaned up the best you possibly can. You testify. And you pray with love and consideration, and then you build an atmosphere around you. See? Now, there you are. If you've got the token, you create a spirit around your power. That's dunamis. That's real authority. Not authority, but power. Authority goes with it, of course. That when you walk, people know you're a Christian. In love, for you say something to them, they believe your word. What you say, they hold on to it. That's it. And that's why people don't understand why you can't preach to Santa Claus. And all these other things. The kids. If you tell a lie there, I tell you one thing. It's good to raise your family that they know that you don't lie to them. That you don't lie to them. Now, they may misunderstand you sometime and think you did lie. Maybe something you forgot and didn't fulfill. But you got to live so the family knows when you talk, you're not lying to them. See, you're not bluffing. See, now, you've got to create that atmosphere, but it's got to be in love. You can't say, well, you know I don't lie to him with a 4x4. Just to get your attention. You got to work your way out. Makiva Brombeck, I told you, said the one thing she learned in being a mother, that the time you give your child the most love is when he least deserves it. Doesn't say needs it, it's just deserves it. And that's when he does need it, see. All right? In love, for you to say something to them. They believe your word. What you say, they hold on to. That's it. Apply the token. See? Testify by works and by words and atmosphere. Works, words, atmosphere. See, testify. Now you've been listening a long time. It's evening time. It's applying time. The wrath will strike one of these days. It might be too late then. See, apply the token with confidence. What's he talking about? He's talking about you, whatever you're praying for, whatever you're doing, whether it's a personal work within your family, whether it's something you want from God, your motivation is right. You set the atmosphere. Atmosphere will come by motivation. There's no two ways about it. Now, apply the token with confidence. If you want to read that, read something here. My scripture I got written down, Ephesians 2 and 12. We don't serve dead works, but serve a living God. Actually, that's the one in the Hebrews. The one in Ephesians is where you were estranged from God, unto idols, and you had nothing. Now you're in touch with the living God. So therefore, once you had nothing, now you have everything. Move into that realm of the everything. See, that's where we fail. We're too prone to go back to the nothingness, the hit and miss. There's not a hit and miss anymore. Oh my, with living words, living works, living signs. You believe in a living sign? Put down Hebrews 9:11-14. living signs, living works, apply that, not dead creeds. You can read it yourself. Now, listen, he's taking a little illustration here. I'll take my boy over to the church and see he joins the church. Some fine Christian boy, here, a good friend, old buddy, a real fella came down here, was baptized. His mother said, I wish you'd gone to a bigger church if you wanted to be baptized. He just didn't want old dead creeds and things. We don't serve dead creeds and dead gods. We serve a living God whose blood was shed back there, and the token has been applied to us that we live also. Amen. Now, he's giving a personal testimony. See, he knows personally exactly what motivates his life and what's doing it. So when he stands back and says, thus saith the Lord, you better believe it's going to happen, because whether you believe or not, it is going to be happening, then you're in judgment. Now, I know people don't believe that, but I'm sorry, that's the truth. Because that's exactly true. They'll give more credit to Balaam's donkey, the angel speaking through him, than they will to a prophet of God that thus saith the Lord. Then where are they? They're in the donkey class. Not the angel class, let's face it. Hybrid. As Brother Brand said, hybrid. A mule. Okay. Don't serve some dead creed. Don't they even deny such thing as a token? That's right. How many people believe that? How many people say, well, that's not it? Remember John the Jesus one day said, hey, he said, was John's baptism of heaven or was it an end? Well, they said, if we say of heaven, they say, why did you believe him? And if we say of men, people get mad because they think it was God. Well, see, we don't know. Just as condemned as they'd open their mouth. Because they lied. See, what are you going to do about this? See, I'm trying to show you, as Brother Branham preached 60% of all his messages, look at this, that is right. And his whole life was bent and spent on. You say, what if the man made a mistake? Well, as I say again, look, if this is mistaken, you find me something that's better than this that's not mistaken. And I'll punch you full of holes, because I'll tell you what, not as good as this, and you have mistakes in it. We've seen what followed his ministry, exactly what he said. What more can a person want? If you want something else, I tell you, fine, you try to get it, but just do me a favor. When you find it, please don't come back to me. Because I'm too pig-headed. Sheep-headed? Bull-headed? Bull-headed, that's a little passable. Bull-headed's okay, sheep-headed. Sheep are stubborn, too, they better be. In other words, when Armageddon has been fought up here, you better stay with what won out, which is the Spirit. See, brother, sister, the big thing what people don't understand is this. The Spirit of God himself working from the soul to the human spirit out through the mind and the body. Don't understand that. And as long as you're here in the flesh, you will have problems. But your mind can know you have fought your battle. This is it. And sink or swim, live or die, this is it. Now, you've got to come to that, because we're right back where Jesus was with his disciples. It's not merely back in the days when Paul was on earth. You're right back to the form, to Israel, appearing to the Gentiles as to Israel. So you're going back to the 12 apostles, eliminating Matthias. And, of course, it would be Judas. Putting in there Paul, one born out of due season, having seen him. But Paul was not there with those others. Now we are right back where they were, which absolutely then preceded the literal coming of the Holy Ghost himself. So that ministry, brother, sister, puts the whole thing in perspective. We're right here at the top of the pyramid, the whole thing, you see. You see, don't serve some dead creed. Even deny the token. Say the days of miracles are past. Now many people say that. Church of Christ is the forefront runner. No such thing as baptism in the Holy Ghost. They say, well, apostles, small apostles have. Nobody else has got it. I think Baptists might say the same thing, though, that not too many. Why join something like that? Don't do that. Apply the token. See? What is he telling you here, then? Let's read on. Apply the token, then serve the living God for living works, living signs, signs that heal the sick, raise the dead, foretell things, speak in tongues, interpret every time perfectly right, prophesy, say this, and such things will happen. Show signs in heaven, above on earth, signs and wonders. Now that's absolutely what the Holy Ghost will do. And in magnitude in a prophet. But across the board in a bride. Speaking exactly what the Bible said would take place. Now that's fine. If you limit that to what know what you're saying, what the Bible says. But you cannot put that in the bride as a body ministry when it's a single ministry in a prophet. So this is to the prophet and the bride. Now what is he saying? To apply the token is actually taking the Holy Spirit as your confidant and your friend and your head. Your advisor and the one that gives instruction. Many a man could go for advice and never takes it. How many of us go to a doctor then and listen to the doctor? Well, if we feel like it. But you take him, you don't obey him. Many people don't obey the Holy Spirit. You've got to take him as a confidant, one that you have trust in and faith in as your advisor, and listen to him and then do it, knowing that it's going to be right. Don't go to those churches, join those old dead works and things like that, because they don't even believe in such things as signs. But we who believe, amen, we know. They say there's no such thing as a sign. Oh, that's nonsense what they talk about. They're telling us that's crazy, they say. Why, there's no such thing as signs. Like women dressing a certain way. Certain thing about their hair. The Bible said so. That's just the difference. Touch not, handle not, taste not. He is God. Now, it does mean something, because God said so. If God says it means something, what does it mean? I don't know, but it means something. Now, listen carefully. I got this underlined. Now, they think it's crazy, but to us who believe and know the truth, we know it is His living presence, for it does the same things that He did when He was here on earth. Amen. I tell you something. Paul was born out of due season and testified that he was one of them who could testify. William Branham does the same thing, identical, Paul William Branham. Pillar of fire appeared, bring the word, pillar of fire reveals the word, proving it's He. Oh, they say, they just imagine they see the pillar of fire. Oh no, we don't imagine anything. They thought Paul imagined it too. Egypt thought Israel imagined it, but it took them to the promised land. Well, people say, what's this the pillar of fire? What's about angelic visitation? Well, everything. It's going to get us there. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ makes the Indian prayer. If you're putting that down, He's the same. They say it was imagination. Now, what's He doing? He's taking you back to the Old Testament, then bringing you here with Hebrews 13:8. Again, Jehovah of the Old is Jesus of the New. One God, same God. Hebrews 13:8 is not Mark 16, that's peripheral. Hebrews 16:8 is seeing God in His glory do what God has always done under the circumstance the way He's always done it. And He can change His mask a million times to do it. That's His business. But He never varies. Essentially and dynamically, always the same. No changes. That's Hebrews 13:8 and over there in Ecclesiastes, I think it's chapter 3, 14, 15 or something like that. When I write these scriptures down, I know the scriptures are, that's how I go to it. All right, now, listen. Watch again very carefully. Knowing it is His living presence, for He does the same in this spirit. Notice. It's His living presence because He does the same thing in this spirit. Not that spirit, although that's this spirit and that spirit's the same one. He's talking about ages. See? And remember, the spirit in that hour, in the human flesh, went to die. This one came here, outside of human flesh, in the pillar of fire, to work in human flesh. Then the prophet leaves us, and He remains here to raise the dead.
Amen.
Which has got to be in the spirit. See? All right. Knowing it's His living presence, for He does the same thing in this spirit. Now, if it had done, gone off into some creed or denomination, we know right quick it wasn't Christ. Is that right? If I led you to some creed or something or another, and I sent you to some denomination, but I'm not bringing you creeds, and I'm not teaching you denominations, I'm teaching you the Word of God, which is the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ manifested, not only for me, but for whosoever will. See? That's Ephesians 1:17. The Spirit of revelation. In the knowledge of Him. Always comes by a prophet. But the prophet doesn't raise the dead. But that spirit that comes does raise the dead. Sets itself head of the church in order to raise the dead. We read that time after time, quoted it. Why is He here? To bring us the word of reconciliation and restoration. To seal in a bride. To bring forth the dead. To change the mortal immortality. To get us out of here. Take us to the wedding supper. To incarnate Himself in that body. King be crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 give you the basis for Ephesians 1, 17 to 23. Then if you bypass 17 to 23, you never did have Ephesians 1, 13, 14, 15. You never were full of the Holy Ghost. Come on, don't try to sell me a bill of rotten apples. No way, shape, and form. I can't eat green apples to give me a stomach ache, and I wouldn't eat a rotten apple to do worse than that. Why should I take something that's from the past, immature? I'm coming to the ripening stage. See, then you are my brother. I'm not a, now he's talking about himself here, see. I'm not a great person. You a little person. We're all little persons in God. Certainly. We are his little children. We know nothing what we really ought to know. He lets us know as he will, and we're thankful to him for what we do know of his blessings. And I don't share this by myself. I don't make a hog what he said and cheat myself. I want to share it with you. I want you into it. I want you to receive this token. If you haven't done it, many of you, most of you, have already done it, but if some of you haven't done it, see, I'm taking talking on the tape. Many of you, and I don't say here in the church, we're all come out, I suppose, but there may be thousands of thousands that hear the tape. It is a ministry. There will be somebody to slip into Jericho. That's the tape's a ministry, see. If someone will slip into Jericho, you know what the tape. We want to catch that predestinated seed when it goes in there, because the wrath of God is coming. See, like in the time of Harlot and the Harlot Rahab, those people there. Now, watch. Know that it is the presence of the living God. Notice, every single time he hits that, the pillar of fire, the appearing, his own self made manifest among us, the days of the Son of Man, absolutely proving who he is. All right. Know that it is the presence of the living God. Proves that God has raised him up according to his promised word. I know that's the body raised up. The spirit says, I can't come, but my spirit will come. I'll send another. That's the true vicar. Has come. See? A little while, the world sees me no more, but you'll see me. Jericho, Egypt, they will see me no more. Now, what's he doing? Talking about Jericho, Egypt. Talking about the Exodus. The safety of the token. It's just about all over. The personal pronoun refers to, see, I be with you. I am the token. My resurrection is the token. That's right. The work that I do will identify you, will identify me in you. Now that's mostly the prophet. Right there. All scripture compound meanings. The basic meaning of this one here is the work will be in one person. That's John 14, 12. The works that I do shall he do, he that believeth. See, there's a special type of believer right there. You can't equate that to anything else. Again, as it was in the days of Lot, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. When the evening message goes forth, for it shall be light about the evening time, just about the evening time, the light would come on. Glory to God. Makes me feel like I could run through a troop and jump over a wall. Shall be light about the evening time. That is right. Prophet said so. I'll be with you. I'll be in the Lutheran age. I'll be in the Western age. I'll be in the Pentecostal age. But it, right at the evening time, it will come light. The denominations will fade away. Then the token will be applied. Now, he said, I was with them. And he doesn't deny that he was with them. But he does deny that he was with them. Now, listen, he does deny that he was with them in the way he's with us now. Absolutely. Didn't have it all. Didn't have it. Couldn't have the full revealed word. And remember, this is printed page. It's all got to be here in him for this hour. Now, in him at this hour is not king on a throne in a millennium. It's only spiritual that's on the king. You say, what about the one sitting on the throne here? Well, that's not fulfilled yet. That's just on the Father's throne. He hasn't come down to rule down here. See, there's gradations all the way through. There's gradations. There's various fulfillments of stature, of quantity, not quality, but quantity. Like he's king right now, Brother Benson, the king is here. Sure, the judge is here. But not all here. It's just showing and coming up. See, where the life manifests. It always was in there. You can't get a flower to show a color that wasn't in that seed. Unless you paint dye and then you're adding to it. That's crazy. You graft in, that's no good. So you see how it is? You're looking at it. Okay, he's very happy here. It shall be light. The token book, all will fade away. This is a special age for the Holy Spirit. All these that are honest in heart, down through that's those ages, without you they won't be made perfect, but in you, it's like, hey, the head has to go to take the foot. The head has to go to take the hand. The head has to go to take the heart. The head has to go to take the mouth. The head has to go to the end. Where at the end time, where the token, not that talking about headship, the token, was applied on the lintel of the door. All right, the doorpost. Doorpost go up like this, but it goes across, not a pyramid. Now, where then can you put the final blood? Not just on going up, but across, and then it's completely sealed off. And the Holy Spirit's now got that flange, like the top of a pyramid, where he can come right down and manifest exactly his and bring his word and phase out the entire church to the very end. We got about 5 minutes then? Okay, we'll close out as quick as we can, an hour and a half. Okay, he's coming down to take this bride. We're at the end time, we're at the time where the token was applied in the little door and on the post. And when I see the blood being a token, I'll pass over you. I'll hurry as quick as I can now, just about 5 minutes or more, while he takes 7, 8 more pages. Proves that God raised him up from the dead. You believe it? He is living among us today. And that I is Christ. And that I is with us to the end. The consummation means the end of the world. End of the world. According to his promise word, he promises, and the works that I do shall you do also. That's Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, right now manifested. It is not nonsense to us. It is the token. It is the token. We accept this sacred blood. We accept his sacrificial blood. Then it gives us the life, the token, a seal of his promise. Ephesians 4:30, grieve not the blood. No, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby your covenant put away. Covenant, you are a token. The Holy Spirit will be your seal. When anything is sealed inside of a seal, you better not break it. Can't break it. Not God's seal. No. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of your redemption, when the body is raised up. I tell you right there that something has happened where it's all sealed off. They were sealed off and put in the ground waiting. We are sealed off and not put in the ground waiting. See, there is a difference, my brother and sister. You must see this. That's why the fullness was not there. Not there, it is here. And what you see is what you've got to accept. What was back there was fine for them, but the people are trying to use that now, and they're only getting an anointing. You got to take this. See, that's what the whole drive of this whole church is about. You do anything you want. I mean, I'm not here to ride hurting anybody. I'm here preaching one thing, correlating everything I can with any little gift or any strength, energy I've got to show you exactly what happened in this hour. What only not happened, what is happening. What the purport and impact is. And plain in is what it is all about, the very best I can deliver to you. It is a seed, a sign that the seed has been germatized with eternal life growing, my own life, and I'll raise it up again at the last day. The seed that was coming up has been reproduced in the perfect ministry, showing it's the perfect spirit, God's spirit. Then who is here to tuck you in? God. And anything else outside of here tucking you in is not God. Then anything outside of here, whether you want to believe me or not, because the prophet said it, you're already sealed in the seal of the Antichrist. You've taken the mark of the beast by your own creeds and your own dogmas. Now listen, brother, I'm not hanging tough this morning. I'm a bit of malice in my heart toward anybody on what I just said. And I'm not trying to run anybody in or run anybody out. God knows my heart. I am merely quoting you, parrot quoting you, but also I hope by revelation in my own spirit what the prophet said and what obtains at this hour. And I cannot back away from it because he said it. And he said it under vindication. What am I to do? Now, I might not like it because I've got children, grandchildren. God knows everything. Great-grandchildren. I've got relatives. What am I supposed to do about it? Am I supposed to say, look at that. I just can't take that because look what they'll do. My brother, my sister, I can't afford not to take it because I know what they will do. Now, there is where you apply the token to loved ones and you're serious and you talk. You don't have to talk many times. They just know. They know what the story is. Brother Brown's category said, the scripture said. Well, the scripture said, when you talk to some man, you admonish him two times. He doesn't listen. You check as a heretic. Forget it. It's finished. If this gospel of the kingdom of this hour is not strong enough after one or two testimonies to let a person know something different has come in, what? David, you're already locked up, but I hope not, but it looks to me like you're already locked up. I can't hear. As you walk, you have confidence that the life of Christ is in you, and you are in Him. By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, sealed there by the Holy Ghost among these believers like this until the day that Jesus raised it up. All right, you're right back again, brother, sister, to the point we're talking about. You have the witness of the hour. You have the testimony. You have the whole thing lined up before you. What are we going to do about it? We're going to come to that one that manifests itself and say, Lord God, if I don't have a part of you, I want a part of you now. Why would I have come this far? My total obedience, I've got total obedience by coming this far. I've repented. My mind is your mind to the best of my knowledge. My life is your life. I've been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, Lord, I believe now that you have given me of your Spirit. No sensation, no manifestation, no demonstration. You've already seen it. You've already seen it, and you're getting baptized to that end. What do you want? This is where Pentecost made a botch of everything. This is where they read the Bible, and they're Gideon put out a fleece. Everybody's gone fleecy. Liz, I'm going to tell you, you get fleecy, it fills you with ticks and burrs and everything else. You got to get a shave and a haircut, kid. Better get yourself lined up. So please, what happened? That's enough for me.
Amen.
God, I wish I'd never been through Pentecost. It had to be. Somebody's got to be a voice. Brother Branham bypassed it. A lot of us came out of Pentecost. We had to be voices. I wish I'd never struck it. But I did strike my oil there, praise God. When I saw him, I knew that was it. Well, if that's it, then that's it. See? Like one woman. If that's it, that's it. One word, that's it, that's it. Never gone back in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So look, if I got it, I got it. Leads me closer every day. One day it's going to come forth like he said. I believe that I'm standing on it. And if I don't got it, somebody's going to get it, brother. So you better be. I'll let the old man tell you. Get ready, because someone's going to get it. Someone's going to fly away. Someone's going. May we all go together. Let's rise at this time. Heavenly Father, it's been a great time again this morning to be together with you and your people. As a family, Lord, we're moving toward that angle, that end, Lord. A people of God. A little branch of the bride of Jesus Christ. Oh, Heavenly Father, we've got our hopes out this morning in that direction. Like David said, my heart panteth after thee, O God, my soul, as the heart pants after the water brook. Lord, O living God, we approach unto you. And yet, that's maybe a wrong thing to say. You've approached unto us and come to us. But Lord, we can approach you in this sense that we open our hearts toward you and our lives and say, come. Come near, Lord. Come in, fill us. Refill us. Recharge us, Lord. Send a fire amongst us to burn out every bit of dross and criminality and anything, Lord, that is patterned after the flesh, that gives way to anything that is not vital and of the Holy Spirit. We would be totally cleansed, O God, by that fire that burns, because the prophet said that burning, cleansing fire can just take, annihilate all that within us. And Father, we know that we just can't drop dead here. We're still people. But we can have that old nature taken care of by the Holy Spirit. And we're asking this morning,